Last Lord's Day, we studied how Christians are to be different from the world. Yes, we are to be Christ-like in our behavior, our daily lives, not going along with worldlyism. No. And this morning, let's study an example from God's Word, which serves as a warning, like a red flashing light, that members of the body of Christ can lose their soul if they become and remain unfaithful, as did Ananias and his wife Sapphira. And we'll want to begin our study of this example of a severe warning and learn several lessons in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we sure want to be doing just that, do we not? Yes, certainly we do, if we want to be with God for all eternity. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville as we're coming together in our Bible classes, studying, of course, God's precious Word. And then as we assemble together, we're striving to worship God with the proper attitude in spirit, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern, in truth, John 4:24. And you would be very much welcome to join in with us. Something else to mention, we're always glad and looking forward to Bible studies with anyone. Yes, and of course, to answer any Bible questions that you have. Your comments, positive or negative, are greatly appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code, or our office phone number. It's area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study this morning, as we're going to look at lessons from the sin of Ananias and Sapphira. And we'll go to Acts chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Acts chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it's remained, was it not thy own? After it was sold, was it not in thy own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. In other words, he died. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. And then fell she down straightway at his feet, yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. So we see Ananias and Sapphira had land, which they had a right to keep, but they chose to sell it and give some of the money to the Lord. Well, that's a good thing, except the problem was they said they were giving all the money they had received for the land when in fact they were keeping back some. And therefore, they lied to the apostles. When they lied to the apostles, they were lying to God. And this certainly was a major problem in the early church. Now keep in mind, this is before they had the full revelation of God's word. And thus the inspired apostles are speaking God's word. They're laying on hands and passing on the 9 miraculous gifts for the first century. And so this church discipline, as they were struck dead for their sin, this is not being done today. Can you imagine if the Lord struck down every member of the Lord's church who lied before him? Well, we don't want to think too long on that, do we? Well, we know that's not going on today. That's the point. And so we need to appreciate at this time how critical this would have been had they been able to deceive the apostles. This would have been very bad for the church. Yes, if they can deceive the apostles, that's not going to work, is it? So, of course, God could not allow this to go unpunished. And it was a severe punishment. We certainly can see that. But now let's notice several lessons that we can learn, again, from this example in God's word that, yes, Christians can fall and lose their soul, as is the case here with Ananias and Sapphira. So let's notice lesson number one. The sin of Ananias and Sapphira did not cause the church to become unholy, undivine. No, the church remained the church, even with human weaknesses. Yes, Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, were both members of the Lord's church, yet they sinned. Yes, but the church remained intact and continued to grow after their death. And by the hands, picking up with verse 12, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers, notice this, and believers were the more added to the Lord multitudes, both of men and women. The church is growing after church discipline had been practiced. And this is needful today when there are those in the Lord's church who have been approached a number of times that are living in sin, bringing reproach upon the church. And certainly the order has to be done in, as the scriptures reveal. You go to them and plead with them, but after several admonitions and there's still no response, then the church is to withdraw their fellowship in order to get them back, to get out of sin and repent and be restored and again be faithful before the Lord. So this is something that the church is to practice today. But again, God is not striking dead those in this situation, as we all know. But here again, as the church of Christ at Corinth, we talked about last Lord's Day, had a very bad situation, but it did not cease the church from being a divine institution. Remember all those things we talked about at the beginning of the program that Paul had to deal with there at Corinth with the Lord's church. Here's an example in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. One of the members of the Lord's church is having sexual relations with his stepmother, of all things. And as bad as that is, that again did not keep the church from being a divine institution. Now they were to certainly withdraw fellowship from him, as they did. And in the second letter, you can see he was restored, and Paul had to admonish them to accept him back. So church discipline certainly is effective, and it's the Lord's plan. So let's stay with the Bible. But today, we need to mention this because some people look at members of the church and make a false judgment about the true church. Now, members of the Lord's church do not always follow the pattern of the New Testament. Oh, no. And there's a lot of times the whole congregation is not even following the pattern, yet the sign out front says the Church of Christ. So we need to make this point. But when that happens, as sad as it is and tragic, their disobedience does not make the pattern faulty. The pattern of the New Testament is still right, even when an entire congregation departs from it. Now, let me give this example. When we do not follow basic instructions, such as changing the oil and filter on our cars, would we conclude that the instructions are bad when our car engines begin to run poorly? Well, that would be rather foolish, wouldn't it? Of course it would. We see we didn't follow the instructions as we should. That's what caused them to run poorly. And so the instructions are not the problem. Just as God's word is not the problem, the pattern of the New Testament is not the problem. It's the fact that some members do not follow it. Now we could use another example with Judas. What if we judged all the apostles by Judas's behavior? That wouldn't work either, would it? I think we see the point. Let's go on to lesson number two. Ananias and Sapphira could not or could have been a blessing to one another. Yes, they could have been a blessing to one another, but they were a curse. For example, suppose Sapphira said to Ananias, "I am not going to be a part of lying to the apostles. I'll have no part in this matter." She stands her ground. Perhaps Ananias would have said, "You know, you're right. This is not what we should be doing." And then that would have prevented their death. But they chose to work together to do evil, as Peter questioned both separately. You see that. And they both said the same thing. They were giving all the money they had received when they had kept back some. Now, Colossians 1:23, we're admonished, "If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." We need to be grounded, settled, and not be moved away, of course, from the hope of the gospel of Christ. That's right. We need to continue in the faith. In Colossians chapter 2, notice with me verses 6 and 7. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." We need to put down roots, and that's studying God's word and keeping it in our minds and hearts and living it out, and thus we're built up in Christ. We're going to be established in the faith, and we're going to be able to say we're walking in him. That's right. And certainly, as we're studying that Ananias and Sapphira could have been a blessing to one another, but as it's seen here in our text, they were a curse. What about husbands and wives today? Do we not need to be a blessing one to another? Of course. We don't want to be a curse to one another. That's not going to work, is it? Are we being good examples to one another? Let's all examine ourselves. And certainly we need to point this out. God has given the husband and the wife different roles in marriage. They're not the same role. Now, we are all equal in the sight of God. Let's prove that by the scriptures. Galatians 3, 27 and 28. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither, notice, male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. We're all equal in the sight of God. Now, the point is this, though, in marriage, there's different roles. And so we go to Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to notice verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. So you have the marriage relationship compared to Christ and his relationship to his body, the church. And he is the head of the church. It's his body, and he's the savior of the body. Now keep in mind, the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church. And that's not a bad thing, Christ being the head of the church. So it's not a bad thing for the husband to be the head of the wife. This is God's way, and it works. Notice verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Well, as we submit to the authority of Christ, it's a good thing, and we're blessed by it. Same in the role of the wife here, and being in submission. Not a bad thing, not demeaning. Of course not. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, submitted to his heavenly Father and became flesh. Would anybody say that that was a demeaning role he took? Of course not. Now notice verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, that's showing us, as the head of the family, we are to even die, if necessary, for our wives, for our children. We're to make decisions that are best for the family, not for ourselves. This is God's plan, and it works. It certainly does. Husbands, are we loving our wives as Christ also loved the church? Well, let's be honest. And gave himself for it. That doesn't sound like a dictator, does it? It does not. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Yes, we must be baptized according to the word of God as we study to have our sins cleansed by the blood of Christ. Let's be sure, though, that we are honoring the role in marriage that God has given us. And there's only two, male and female. There's not in-betweens here and all of that mess that's going on today. And notice verse 33, still in Ephesians 5. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. Well, we want to be husbands that are well respected. And so we need to act like God intended us to act. And certainly not be selfish. So again, Ananias and Sapphira could have been a blessing to one another, but they were a curse. Now, let's not be that in our marriages. Let's not be a curse. Let's be a blessing to one another and practice the role that God has given us as best we can. And we'll have a good marriage. It's guaranteed. But let's go on now to lesson number 3. The sin of Ananias and Sapphira is evidence of the inspiration of the Bible. That's right. Because the inspired Luke, he was the beloved physician, as we know, he made no attempt to cover up their sin. Of course not, because he's writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But had he been writing upon by himself, and all the other men, suppose they were just writing by themselves, would they not have tried to cover up bad situations? Of course. But this is not the writing of men alone, is it? No, they were all inspired by the Holy Spirit, and they're not leaving things out that man would. You see, Noah got drunk, and we know what happened there with his son. And Abraham lying about Sarah. Yes, that's not covered up. Moses struck the rock when God said to speak to the rock. David sinning with Bathsheba, having Uriah killed. These are great Bible characters, and their sin was not covered up. No, sin cannot be corrected by trying to cover it up. And we can appreciate why God leaves it in there for our learning and admonition. Notice Numbers 32, 23. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. It's going to find us out, isn't it? Certainly it is. And so sin in the church, in the Lord's church, needs to be exposed and opposed. Well, that's certainly something we all should agree on. The church grew after church discipline. Again, verse 14, that's certainly the case, isn't it? But let's go on now, and we'll look at another lesson. This is, I believe, number 4. There's a great contrast between Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, and Barnabas. As we know, Barnabas was mentioned back in chapter 4. In fact, it's the last couple of verses there in chapter 4, so it's side by side with the account of Ananias and Sapphira. So let's go back to 4, 36 and 37. In Hoseas, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. And so he gave all the money he received. He didn't lie about it. And so Luke, the inspired physician here, placed Barnabas's example side by side with the example of Ananias and Sapphira. So let's mention this. As you see, the son of consolation, that's being Barnabas being interpreted the son of consolation, that is exhortation, encouragement. Barnabas, no doubt, was a great encourager. And we need brethren in the church today that have that ability to really be a good encourager. Yes, we do. And we appreciate brethren that are like Barnabas. He was a genuine Christian. But Ananias and Sapphira, would we not conclude they were counterfeits? Could it be that Ananias and Sapphira wanted honor without paying the price? I believe we could. Well, certainly God has done his part to save mankind from their sins. But Satan tries to keep the world lost in their sins by offering counterfeit religions. And there's multiple of these. We're bombarded with counterfeit translations too, paraphrases of the Bible. We shouldn't want man's opinion of what God says. No, we want a reliable translation from the Hebrew and the Greek and some Aramaic, yes. But we want those who knew the language converting it into the language that we speak and read from, English in our situation. So we want a reliable translation, like the King James. Revelation 22, 18 and 19, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book, that is the book of Revelation. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Yes, that's the context, the book of Revelation, the Revelation. But it also applies to all of God's word. We're not to add to nor take away from. So let's remember that. Satan, of course, wants the word of God distorted and twisted. And this, of course, aids his cause, not the Lord's. Now, we need to emphasize this fact. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, built one church. And that's not being rough to say so. It's the truth. This is Bible. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Peter had confessed that Jesus is the Christ. That's the truth. And that's the rock foundation that the church was built upon. But it's singular. Ephesians 4:4 says there's one body. Of course, Christ only has one body. He is the head of his body, the church. And that is not going to work with several heads nor several bodies. And we all should see that. But Satan is offering counterfeit religions, and you can find them throughout the world. And notice Mark 7:7, "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." The seed in the parable of the soils represented the word of God there in Luke 8. And Matthew 15:13, "But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." We want to be that good soul that receives the truth in a good and honest heart. And thus the seed, the word of God, is going to bring forth what? A Christian. Not some different plant. No, we should all see that. So we need to appreciate the oneness of the true church of the Bible and stay with God's word, no matter how many do not. So as we've seen, Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, had a great opportunity to do a good work rather than lying to receive a false honor. And we've talked about how husbands and wives should be a blessing one to another rather than a curse, of course. And we need to be like Barnabas, giving encouragement to the brethren and serving God faithfully. And we need to ask ourselves this question: are we remaining faithful and being a good example to one another? We certainly need to be. And if we haven't obeyed the gospel, we need to respond to the Lord's invitation by hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. That's how our faith comes. Then we're to believe that Jesus is the Christ, John 8:24. And once we believe that Jesus is the Christ, we're motivated to repent of our sins, making a change of wills, Luke 13:3-5, Acts 17:30. Now we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10. And in Acts 8:36-40, you see the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. What hindered him to be baptized was making the good confession. And then, of course, he and Philip went down into the water, and he was baptized for the remission of his sins. Baptism is what puts us into contact with the precious blood of Christ. As we know, Ananias told Paul, "Why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord," Acts 22:16. And certainly we know Jesus shed his blood in his death, John 19:33-34. Therefore, Romans 6:3-6 shows us we are buried into his death. That's why we contact his blood there under the water, coming up out of the water to walk in newness of life. And the Lord adds us to his body, the true church, where we need to remain faithful. And we thank you so much for listening today.